Christmas. Christmas season is probably one of the most important seasons of the entire liturgical year. Most certainly, you have Easter, which is also extraordinarily important because it is the passion, death, and resurrection of our Savior. But when you really stop to think of it, Christmas is essential because what it does is it sets up the beauty and the profundity of what actually is taking place during the passion, death, and resurrection. We need the Christmas spirit. We also need an understanding of exactly what is taking place at Christmas time. God becomes flesh. He becomes one of us. Why? So that we will know the Messiah, but we will also know by way of his childhood, his infancy, that he is truly a man. God wants us to love him not only in a spiritual sense, but also in a human sense. He wants us to love him in his humanity as well as his divinity. We need to love God with our own humanity, so therefore he becomes someone to love. You can't love an ideal or something that you don't know. In order to love, we must know the one we love. And so he becomes one of us so that we can know him, that we can know not only him, but through him to know and love the Father. Now, Christmas and the spirit of Christmas should permeate the entire year of a Catholic Christian, of all Christians. And why? Because this focus on the humanity of Christ, as well as his divinity, opens the door to truly understanding what kind of love we have and what kind of love we've been offered by the Father. Christ reveals to us the Father, his love, his compassion, his gentleness, and as well his mercy. And so by looking at this beautiful child lying in a manger, we begin to see this abandonment of God to our love. He's abandoning his very self into the hands of mankind, even to this very day. The Eucharist is an abandonment on the part of God into the hands, trusting himself into the hands of his priests and of his church. Christ in the Eucharist is truly a representation of God's love and how much he loves us. And by studying the birth of Jesus, we begin to see exactly why it is that Christ appeared to us first as a child. He was conceived in the womb of his mother. That such an insignificant element on this earth was infused the divine. It shows us the value of life from the moment of creation, for because he redeemed us through his life, death, and resurrection, his life begins at the moment of conception, and therefore redemption begins at the moment of conception. Christ began redeeming us at that specific moment, at the Annunciation of the angel to Mary, when Mary says, Fiat mihi secundum verbum tuum, when she says, be it done unto me according to your word. And so we have the beginnings of our redemption, and we have the beginnings of our understanding of just how much God loves us. It is the depth of his love that is revealed in the way he came. He entrusted himself to his mother, the very woman he created, the woman without flaw, perfect in every single way. He entrusted himself to her. So it teaches us that motherhood is God's entrusting life to that woman so that that life can give God glory through its very existence. Now, the season of Christmas, though it be only a short period of time, it literally permeates every element of our Christian existence. Because without Christmas, without the revelation that God himself descends to the earth, takes up our humanity, and walks and talks among us, and becomes an object of our love, without the realization of this, what would really be the impact of the passion, death, and resurrection of the Messiah. When we recognize and understand how human he is, as well as how divine he is, that both are united in this hypostatic union, there we have a truer understanding of what it took to redeem us. That it wasn't just one act. It was his entire life from the very moment of conception until his death and resurrection. We are saved by all of it. All of our lives are sanctified because Christ lived an entire life as God made man. There have been many, many people in the history of mankind and since the birth of Christ that have tried to say, well, Jesus wasn't really God. He became God. That'd be foolishness. For God, in his infinite mercy and wisdom, chose to take upon himself our humanity, and in doing so begins the act of redemption and shows us that his sufferings, his passion, his death, and his resurrection literally are a work of God in and through mankind. We are saved by God who takes up our humanity unto himself and redeems us through this humanity. It is most certainly God who redeems us, because only God can repair an infinite offense that was made against God himself. And that's what sin is. Of all the things that Jesus came to do, there was one and the most important thing he came to do, and that was to die. Every single great personage of history came to live. Every one of us come to live. But Jesus came to die. That was his purpose for coming. He came not only to show us how to live once we have been restored to grace through his passion, death, and resurrection, but he also comes to show us how to die. For the one thing that God wants from us, that he did not give to us, is death. Through sin, all the evils came into the world. Please, don't ever anyone say that God makes me suffer, or I suffer this. Why does God do this? God doesn't create suffering. He doesn't give us pain. He doesn't create tsunamis and earthquakes and volcanoes and snowstorms and all the evils that befall us, the diseases, AIDS, cancer, sicknesses. It is sin that gives us all these things. God created the world and all within it perfect as a sign of his infinite and compassionate love for us. We have messed it up, not only by our own sins, but the sins of all of mankind throughout the ages. And God is the only one who can pull us out of it, give us strength to suffer it, because he suffered it first. That is the message of the child Jesus in the stable of Bethlehem, that he entered into our humanity, taking upon himself all the possible sufferings that he could possibly endure, solely not only to give us hope and strength, but to also give us the grace to be able to embrace that cross, thereby drawing the graces of the redemption down upon every man and woman of our own day and age. The passion of Christ and the birth of Christ are intimately linked. They will always be one act of love. Don't separate his passion from his birth. Don't separate his childhood from his years of preaching. They are one great act of divine, perfect love. It is this love that we are called to. It is this love that we are called not only to imitate, but to become. We must become Jesus, not just be content with imitating him, but be Jesus.